Hi, everybody. I'm Cynthia, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon. I want to talk to you tonight about my experience, strength, and hope, but I just want to say thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. It's an honor, and I want to say thank you to my group, Easy Does It. It's very special to be given this opportunity. And yes, I'm very nervous, so please hang in there with me. When I think of my experience, I think that I came from the disease of alcohol. Let me say alcoholism. And my strength is that I work the Al-Anon program. And my hope is that I keep coming back because I'm worth it. And so when I look at where I come from the disease, what I remember most is that, excuse me for one second. Okay. What I remember most is that emotions weren't us. We weren't allowed to have any emotions. We had to stuff it all in. And I remember growing up, and when I look back, there was an acronym I used to describe it, and it was I was taught to be a neat woman. And neat for my acronym is never emotional anytime woman, because emotions weren't allowed. And along with that, being seen and heard was scary. Being seen and heard as I was, as I am today, is a scary place because it felt like I was putting a target on my back. And then I was opening myself up to criticism, correction, or punishment. And so I basically grew up stuffing and hiding. And as my sponsor would say, I learned to be a house mouse. And that's someone who would run out and take care of stuff and then blend back in. And I was very comfortable with that. Don't see me. I take care of a bunch of stuff. Don't look at me and then blend back into the background. So I learned all of this and I brought it to my marriage. I brought it to marriage and I married someone that was, let's just say, an adventurer out there, open, ready to go. So I would hold him back in that regard. And we were married, and we were married for a long time. And the last 8 to 10 years of our marriage was us trying to manage his disease, which was difficult, really difficult. It brought me to a breaking point, and the breaking point was that I started to lose my hair. I started to be unable to sleep. I was raised as this person that stuffed all her feelings. But when I was in situations, I would notice that suddenly I was tearing up and I wanted to cry. Everything I wasn't supposed to do. And I was breaking down and I hit my bottom. And when I hit my bottom, and I couldn't take it anymore, I packed up my kids. I took the dog. I took money. I took everything I needed to take care of my kids. And I walked out the door. And that was in November of 207. And when I walked out of the door, I thought, I'm never coming back here. And it was a really hard decision for me to make. So I left. He comes home. There's a note. And in the note, I just say, we're done. Because that's the best I could do. And that was the last day he had a drink. He decided that he was going to make a change. And he went to a medical provider, and the medical provider mentioned a codependency group, and he mentioned it to me. And so my attitude was, I'm a lost case. What was happening to me, I was being punished by God, basically. That's where my mind was. I was being punished by God. I'm a lost case, but I need to save my children. So I will do whatever I have to save my kids. And I went to the codependency meetings, and this was kind of interesting. And in the meeting, the therapist would say, go to Al-Anon, go to Al-Anon. And they would check in, have you been to a meeting? And I'm like, what's an Al-Anon? Finally, I get up the courage to call, you know, where you call to find out where the meetings were, different stuff like that. And I always remember that so much because I was sitting in the parking lot of the post office and I was in my car and I was making the phone call and someone answered. And I had to say that I needed to go to this meeting, because I was told I didn't know what was there. I needed to go to that meeting. And she said, "Well, we'd love for you to come." And I'm like, "You'd love to have me?" And then she said, and then I said, "Well, I have kids too." And she said, "We love kids." And it was such, I was so uncomfortable. I was so out of my zone. I hung up and I just started bawling in the car. So in January of 2008, I went to Al-Anon. I took my kids in pre-Alateen or pre-Alateen and Alateen, and I took them there and I showed up. I showed up there and I just looked around because this was so different than anything I'd ever experienced. And I sat down in the chair and they go through the different readings. And then the next stage in the meeting is you pass around the book and we all read. Well, they're passing around the book and it goes from one person to the next. And as I'm listening, some of the people are missing a word or they're saying a word incorrectly or they're just not quite getting it exactly. Let me just use the term perfectly. And when that happened, you're looking at the book because they gave you a book. I looked up and I looked around because I was waiting to see who was going to correct them because that's where I came from. No one said a word. And when that silence hit me, and what I got from that silence was, I'm safe here. And I always remember that. I get it in here. I'm safe here. And I sat through that meeting and then I started to come back for my girls. I came back for my girls, but I've stayed for myself. And when I came in, I was trying to figure out where did I fit in? The ladder. Am I above? Am I below? Where am I fitting in? And what I found is just show up, come as you are. And I began to hear things, open and honest sharings that were so not where I came from. That kind of stuff you hid. You didn't tell anyone about it. And I felt like I'd found home. I always would say about myself, I was a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. Well, I found where I fit. And I've been coming back ever since. And when I came in that first year, I just remember how much I loved coming and how much I was there for the alcoholic in my life because he was the problem. And I was there to help him, but really for my girls. And I went through that whole year and I listened and I began to hear that basically change your attitude, change your life. And I would hear that, we had the power to make a difference in our life, to change our life, to get our life to where we wanted it to go. And as I kept on hearing that, I was like, yes, that's what I want. And then in the back of my head, I started to hear this little bit of, well, if you have the power to change your life and get where you want to go, maybe you have the power to get yourself where you're at. And then that's And it was exactly a year, another year around. And at that point, I hit another bottom. And that was the point at which my recovery started because I heard that I had to take ownership for everything. I heard that it wasn't just him, it was me. And I like to think that what happened is I walked out of witness protection. And I started to see myself and what I was doing. And when I started to see myself, I got the memories coming back about when he came to me 6 months before we left and said, I think we should take all the alcohol out of the home. Now, I, of course, don't always remember all this exactly, but I said, I think you should be strong enough to keep it in the house and not drink it. And then the things that I did is I bought all the alcohol. I went to the store and I had measured out exactly that I needed a certain amount of alcohol every week and I would buy it and I would put it in my cart and I always put it in the middle of the cart. And then I would take my groceries and I would cover the alcohol, like, you know, the chips and the bread and everything that went in the grocery cart, I'd cover it because in my head, I knew somebody knew what was going on in my home and I needed to protect myself because I couldn't be seen. And then I would come home, and at one point, I was hiding the alcohol so that, you know, trying to manage it and dole it out. And these memories started to come back. And another memory was that there was this time when my daughter was, I want to say, about 6 years old. And I was going to school to pick her up, and I was in the school parking lot picking her up, and you circle in and you circle out. And as I'm driving in there to pick her up, I spot my husband's car, and he's already ahead of me. And so he circles around, and he's already got her in the back seat. And so he's driver to driver. Our windows are passing each other. I roll down my window. He rolls down his, and I'm yelling at him, "I told you I'm supposed to pick her up." And he says, "No, you told me I was supposed to pick her up." So in the middle of the parking lot for school, we're yelling at each other as my 6-year-old is cringing in the back of the car. But he was the problem. When that happened, and I started to look back, I started to understand that some of the behaviors that I was doing was that I wasn't causing it, and I wasn't controlling it, and I couldn't cure it, but I was certainly contributing to it. And one of the things that popped up in my head when I look back is I look back at how much I was being a martyr, how much I would, I want to say it this way, I would push away and push up to the closest pedestal or cross and climb up on it and stand up there and point down at him to let him know that I was the okay person and he wasn't. And when I looked up the definition of martyr, part of the definition is a constant sufferer. And when I look back at that, I think to myself, I believe that was a really good thing. I believe that suffering was like an investment. You pay into it. At some point, you're going to get a good payback. And when I came to understand, as I began the Al-Anon program, that it wasn't, that's when I came to believe that my life had become unmanageable. I came to understand that all the times and energy that I was putting in was not getting me anywhere. And I finally had to let go. And when I let go, I reached out and saw all my control and how much I love to control. And my way of controlling was to repeat myself until he understood that's what I wanted done. And so I would have him, I wanted him to do it, but I wanted him to do it my way. And Al-Anon taught me to look at that. And when I started to do a deep dive into my control, I began to see that my control has always been to avoid pain and to avoid someone else hurting and being in pain that I care about. And so I was always working on trying to know what I could do to avoid that. So that's kind of like keeping me stuck and holding me in this place where there's no growth, my feet are in cement, and I just keep thinking it's going to work out. And I had to let go of my control. I had to let go of my insanity. And at that point, that's when I started to let what I call the door open, a crack, where you let the light of higher power to come into your life. And I began to feel a little bit better. And I began to feel a little bit of hope. And when that started happening, I could start looking at things because one of my biggest, I would say one of my biggest defects has been perfection. And I think of perfection as the antibody to worthlessness. I never wanted to really see how low my self-esteem was. I always wanted to run from that, and I ran straight into how can I look good? What can I do to make you approve of me so that I can look good? It had nothing about had nothing to do with feeling good. It had everything to do with making sure you approved of me. And two things happened. One was I started to change my values away from you telling me I'm okay to me telling me I'm okay. And along with that, I had to really look at my values around money, property, and prestige. I had to say, okay, what's really important here? And my sponsor would say, I'm not my bank account. And I always appreciated hearing that because that was the path I was on. I was trying to figure out a way to feel better about myself, and that's where I was trying to go. And so she taught me, no, you're a value just because you are, just because you live and you breathe. And that's when I made a decision to turn my life and my will over the power of God as I understood him. And I could breathe. I started working on me. And what I remember most is the focus was always on the alcoholic. And now the focus shifted to me. It shifted away from what he wasn't to what I was. And then my sponsor started working with me on the 12 steps. And we started going through all of those different 12 steps. And as I started to work that, I began to understand that I had some other areas that I was contributing to. And one of them was I always expected the worst. And I didn't really know that that defect I was carrying. But you put me in a situation, and I could tell you everywhere, every place, and every nook and cranny in which it would go wrong. I couldn't tell you how it could work out. I couldn't tell you how there was an opportunity. I could just tell you no. And my husband would say to me, you say no all the time. And I did because I didn't want the disappointment. Remember, I'm trying to avoid pain. I didn't want to take the chance anymore. I wanted to avoid pain. I wanted to avoid disappointment. And so I would say no. And I stopped being able to look at what could work out. And Al-Anon has changed my focus, my perspective from what won't work out to what can work out. What are the opportunities? What can I go for? Why don't I change? And why don't I have a little bit of an adventure? I wanted to become a person in recovery, and that was one of the things I had to let go of. And when I started letting go of that, I had to let go of obsession. And I'd like to say that all these things are gone, but I think that for me, it's always been about progress over perfection. And so it's a sliding scale. It's like I've done a lot of work, but there are always going to be some of that there. And sometimes it's going to be more than others, but I'm going to keep working it. Because recovery is an action I want to keep taking. And so when I looked at obsession, I came to understand that it was just that one thing I wanted to keep thinking about over and over again. I was not changing the channel. I was not, don't talk to me because I won't be listening to you. I'll be thinking about that one thing over and over again. And I had to figure out that when I was doing that, I was not present. I was not paying attention to where I was, and I was not getting the joy out of my life that I wanted. And so as I let go of these things, I worked my steps. I got through them. My husband and I got back together. And as I said, I came for my girls, and then my girls started to have issues. And they weren't drug and alcohol related. They were other things. And that's when I hit another bottom. And when I had to deal with their issues, I can only say that I learned a couple things about myself. I can say that to you that on one of them, I had to get to the point where I realized I couldn't fix everything and I had to let her go to God. I had to turn her over and I had to tell her, I can't help you. And I had to face my limitations. And with my other one, I couldn't enable her. I had to be someone who started to speak her own truth. And my truth was my truth, and the other person's reality was not my truth. And when that started to happen, a funny thing happened. My world got better. I became able to be assertive and speaking up, which I thought, honestly, was a bad thing. I thought that if you went with the flow and you just let people have what they want, that was a good thing. But I came to understand that when I spoke up, it made for a better situation all the way around, and I walked away without any resentments or anger. And the thing that was, I think, the tectonic shift for me was when I was able to look at myself, I came to understand that I had always been focused on difficulty and suffering. And then with that difficulty and suffering, I had laid in unreasonable expectations and anchored it all in fear and obsession. And so my trajectory of where I wanted to go, it wasn't getting there because the tools I was using was taking me in a completely different direction. And that's when I came to understand that God wasn't punishing me. I was doing it to myself. As far as I was concerned, God had been knocking on my door all these years. I wasn't letting him in. I wasn't hearing what he had to say. I wasn't connecting with him. And I began to really understand that I wanted recovery. And when I look at recovery, I look that one up too. And what I came to understand is that recovery is a return to a mental state of health, mind, and strength. So I could have recovery, or I could be a constant sufferer. And that's when another big shift happened for me. And I wanted that recovery. And so I kept working my program, and my husband and I came together. And when we came together, we ended up no more alcohol in the home. We ended up changing our direction and working together to be able to have a healthy situation. And so where we are today is that we had Thanksgiving, and the four of us were able to get together. And when we got together at Thanksgiving, we sat around the table, and as we sat around the table, we all talked, and we all shared, and we laughed, and we had humor. And as I was sitting there, I said to myself, Al-Anon, take a victory lap. Because there was a time in our world in which we couldn't sit at the dinner table. We sat separately. We couldn't interact. There were tears and arguments. And today, that's all changed. And then along with that, we kind of had a funny situation happen. Our getting some work done on the house. And in the midst of the work, we had to take up some carpet in the hall, in the stairwell, and one of the kick plates got taken out. And then my husband had to fix it, and he put it back. But that created a hole in the walkway for a while. And so when he put it back, he had to get it ready for the carpet that was going to go back in. And so what ended up happening is we were in the kitchen, and we started to hear a meow from a cat. And the meow from the cat was coming from the vent in the ceiling. So immediately we start going through where the cat's not at the door, and the cat's not in the room. Where the heck is the cat? And as we start looking around, all three of us have this, oh my gosh, I can't believe. And we ran upstairs to the kick plate, and we found out that we thought the cat had gone in between the ceiling and the second floor. So my husband's racing to get the wood off the stairwell. And as he's taking it off, my heart's pounding. And we're all like, oh my God, is the cat in there? Well, he takes it off, and then I'm yelling for the cat, and out of this black darkness, up pops this kitty head. And it's covered in dirt and everything else. And we're like, oh my God, we could have entombed our kitty in there. And the thing that I take away from that experience is no one was to blame. It just happened. And there was always things in my life in which there had to be a blame. And I love that. I love now, because my control was all about making sure things like that never happened. But Al-Anon gives me the freedom to work my program, so that I know how to deal with life when it gets messy, uncomfortable, or awkward. And you know, where I am right now, if I was to finish up, is this has been, this last little over a year has been a challenging year. I have a couple of family members that are that have been diagnosed with serious illnesses. So that's happened. A lot of good people have passed. I've been shut in and I've been shut out. And I've had to find what I call a new normal, a new way to deal with life. I have an aunt who will be turning 90 next month. And so my mom and I went to see my sister and brother-in-law, and we keep a tight, close rein on who we see. And the only way I could see my aunt is I suggested we drive to her house and stand on the sidewalk and wave to her, because we can't get close to her because we can't endanger her. And the point, and where I'm going with that, it's been a lot of challenges. And when I've been looking at all those challenges, I've really worked this year a lot on step 11. The point about step 11 for me is when I sought through prayer and conscious contact to understand higher power's will for me, what I came to understand is that this year for me has kind of been a walk down memory lane. It's been an opportunity to look back. And I don't know if it's, I was thinking maybe it was about regret. Maybe there were some things I had forgotten to let go of when I did my steps. Maybe there were some things about choices I didn't make. Why are you having me go back here? Because it's just been coming up. And what I came to understand is that I've come to understand is that higher power was just in a way telling me to take a second look and say, you know, you've come really far. You've done real well. You keep changing. You keep growing. Keep going down that direction. And the way that I see it is the more I work the program, the more I step into the light and I move away from the darkness. And so I'm so grateful for this program because it helps me live a healthy life, a happy life, and a full life, and a joyful life. And it puts me on a completely different trajectory from where I was. And so I want to say thank you to all of you for listening tonight. I appreciate so very much. And bye.
Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate your service.